Glad you're here on a rainy Sunday morning. Might have been tough to get out of bed and get moving, but we're certainly glad that you're here. The Lord laid on my heart the past couple of weeks this song that I hear on the radio quite a bit. It's a Need to Breathe song. Twice I was coming home from McDonough on 20 and just saw the most beautiful sunset with clouds, and this song came on both times, and it's called, I don't really know the name of it, but the lyrics are, "Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfires singing your name." And the Lord laid on my heart about this church and how His love is bursting inside of us like radiant diamonds. And I just see this church continue to grow in love and in the Thanksgiving spirit. I'm just so thankful for all of you that are here. And I'm thankful to call Eagles Way Church my home. It's a great church and great people. And we serve a God who loves us dearly. We love each other. And people that come visit, I hear them say they see a difference in this church. And I'm just so thankful for that. I want to say a little prayer this morning before we get going. A couple people are sick in the church, and my dad being one of them. He was sick this time last year, and he's sick again now, and he's having a hard time getting over it. And it's not just him. There's lots of people in the church that are sick. So let's say a prayer to the Lord, and then let's stand up and let's worship this God who burst inside of us like radiant diamonds. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for today, Lord. We thank You for this time to come into Your house and worship You, Father. We thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace that You show upon us every day, Lord. Father, I just pray for my dad as he's going through the sickness, Lord. I just pray that You will touch him and heal him and make him whole again, Father. And I believe that. And I believe that any other person who's not here for sickness, God, I just pray You're with them right now and that You will heal them. And we believe it and we worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand.
Well, Lord, I come. Will I confess? Bowing here, I find my rest. And without You, will I fall apart? You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need You. Where sin runs deep, Your grace is more. Where grace is found, is where You are. Where You are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need You. Oh, temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on You. But Jesus, You're my hope and stay. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You.
there in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountaintop, there in the everyday and the mundane, there in the sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. It's there on a wedding day. It's there in the weeping by the graveside. We're there in the very breath we breathe. Your great grace.
I tell you, you know, you have some weeks that are rough and some weeks that are just amazing. And I had one of those weeks this week that was just amazing. And it wasn't because of anything other than looking for it. And when he said his grace finds me, his grace is always there and it always finds you. You just have to find it right back. And, you know, Chris and I had dinner one night. He was gone all week, and then this weekend we had dinner. And so I was kind of catching him up a little bit with just what God was working within my life, and just, and I just began to cry. And all I could say is that I've never not known the goodness of God. And I just saw, opened my eyes to see His goodness. And I saw a friend get blessed. I saw mountains be moved. I saw healing, and I just saw His goodness, and I just thought, thank you, God, that I've known nothing but Your goodness. And this song says, whatever mountain that's in front of you will be thrown into the depths of the sea. And I want to tell you, I've seen those mountains moved. And He is good. His unfailing love, it endures to all generations. Amen.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for Your regard. And through it all, my eyes are on You. And through it all, it is well.
Well, it is well.
it all. My eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Thank you for loving me.
Thank you. may be seated.
Wow, what a blessing that the Lord has given me to travel to all these different places. In June the 30th, 1974, I quit my job with the state of Florida and took off traveling, had a youth meeting down in Ormond Beach, Florida, and never looked back, just kept trucking, kept moving forward, sang with a singing family in a Silver Eagle bus. I thought I had arrived, and played the piano and preached every other night for, you know, with the family. The son preached, and then I would preach. And after a couple of weeks, I realized that when their son preached, everybody was really gung-ho, and when I preached, they were sleeping. And so I went up to the dad, and I said, "This isn't working out very well," and he reached in his pocket and gave me a Greyhound bus ticket back home. I said, that was not the conversation I was planning to have. But I wound up going back home, and then a group called Teen Challenge asked me to be their field rep for the Southeast. And I started traveling all over the Southeast and ministering in different churches and raising money for Teen Challenge and helping young people to overcome addictions and difficulties. And the Lord has been very kind to me for these 40 years to be able to travel and preach all over the world, 44 different countries, most of them many, many times, and 33 different states. And I am very thankful to the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't he? And so thank you, Eagles Way, for the relationship that God has given to us. Bjorn and I have been friends. I came the first time to Eagles Way in 1976. And so just a couple of years before that was when I started traveling. So we've known each other most of those years and been friends and had relationships. And I'm so very, very thankful. It is a thankful season, isn't it? We're coming into this week of Thanksgiving, and somebody gave me a little thing about Thanksgiving. A person doesn't realize how much he has to be truly thankful for until he has to pay taxes on it. Even though we cannot have all we want, we ought to be thankful that we don't get all we deserve. Yeah, some of you are grateful for that. The worst possible moment for an atheist is when he feels grateful and has nobody to thank. There's one thing that everybody should be thankful for, that only you and God have all the facts about yourself. Thankful for that. And another thing to be thankful for is that if you can't pay your bills, be thankful that you're not one of your creditors. Well, I want to share the word this morning. I want to read from Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Let's just pray together. Thank you, Father, for this day that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for sharing life, Lord, with your people. I ask you, Lord, to help me to speak, Lord, what you've put in my heart. Give us ears to hear, Lord, what you want to say to us. We are grateful, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, and for the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God, because we believe that through the anointing, God, it breaks the yoke of bondage and sets captives free. We honor you and are blessed, Lord, to be in your presence today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So here's the fruit of the Spirit, the product of the Holy Spirit in life. The fact is, as we understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's part of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We understand that the Holy Spirit works in and through us. Jesus said, "I must go away so that the Holy Spirit can come." It was part of the overall plan of the Lord to allow His Holy Spirit to flow into our lives. We know that the Holy Spirit brings anointing, like I was just praying, the anointing of the Spirit of God to help us to overcome difficulties and situations and circumstances in our life. But I believe that one of the greatest things that the Holy Spirit does for us is gives us fruit. He allows us to have something in our life that we can't produce by ourselves. You can't make yourself everything that God wants you to be. Only the Lord can do that in and through you. And so the Holy Spirit brings fruit to our life. Now, the world judges Christianity today more by the actions of Christians than it does the preaching of Christians. The authenticity of the gospel of Christ has more to do with our behavior than all the stories of miracles. You see, the truth is most of you here have heard more sermons than you can remember. You know, the truth is a lot of us have heard so many messages, we know when to say amen at the right spots. We could sleep through the sermon and say amen. You know, we got it down pat. We speak Christianese. We know how to go through the motions. And the reality is most of the time it's not the messages that we've heard that have impacted our life the most. It is the life that is lived by someone around us. It is what someone has produced in their life that they give to us. Now, I believe that the Lord wants us to have abundant life. He said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. The scripture talks about in Matthew chapter 9 about the new wine and the old wineskins. And it talks about that if you put new wine in an old wineskin, it'll burst the wineskin because the new wine is growing, it's fermenting, it's moving out. And I believe that that is one of the things that God desires for us. He desires for us to be producers of fruit. I believe that when we come to the house of God, every one of us should have fruit to give. Our fruit is not to be looked at. You know, a lot of folks just want good-looking fruit. How many of you know that sometimes, have you ever picked up something on a table and found out it wasn't real fruit? It looked good, but you didn't want to bite into it, you know, because it's bad. And the truth is a lot of times what looks good on the outside is not always good on the inside, right? It's not always what you needed to be. Years ago, in fact, here in Georgia, in the Peach State, I went on a peach picking expedition. And I love to pick peaches because mainly I like to eat two and put one in the tub. And I would pick peaches, and I found one peach that I said, I got to have that peach. That's the biggest peach I think I've ever seen in my life. And so it was just out of reach, and I finally got my grits together, and I jumped up and I grabbed the peach. And unfortunately, what was good on the front side was rotten on the back. And to this day, I still can feel the nasty running through my fingers. It caused me not to want to eat any more peaches that day. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that what God expects from us is to be fruit givers. He expects us to have fruit in our life that people would see something in us that they want. I read an article not long ago that was talking about the fact that a lot of people that have been great members of the church, they've been tithers, they've come, but all of a sudden they say, I'm done with church. And a lot of reasons they're done with church is because of what they've seen in other people's life, of what they see that somebody that claims to be a Christian doesn't really act like a Christian all the days of their life. Now, we used to sing a song when I was growing up that talked about sweeter as the days go by. I'm going to tell you, all Christians do not get sweeter as they go by. There are some Christians that get meaner as the years go by. They got a mean streak in them. And if you touch that button, you'll find out just how mean they are. And unfortunately, it happens at the wrong times when all of a sudden you've got a situation where somebody is right at the point of receiving the Lord, of moving to another dimension in their life. And then all of a sudden, some bad fruit comes out. Something that is not good, something that is not right. What the Lord is looking for us is not all of our words. It's about our life. It's about our living. The scripture says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And he says, and after that, he's the power of the Spirit, and he says, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. It does not say you shall do witnessing. It says you shall be witnesses. There's a huge difference there. It's not about all your words. It's not about all your talk. It's about your life. It's about people that see the love of God in you. It's about the blessings that come, that when people come to the house of God. How many of you have ever come to church and sometimes you just feel a little down? You've had a bad week. Somebody didn't love you the way that you wanted to be loved, and you came to church, and somebody walks up and puts their arms around you and hugs you, and when they leave, you feel loved. Or you feel joy. Or you feel kindness. Or you feel goodness. And what's happened is you've picked their fruit. You have partaken of their life. You have partaken of the goodness of God. I'm going to tell you, I learned a long time ago, it's not just all about words, it's about impartation. It's about putting something into people's life that makes a difference in them, and they realize that they need the fruit of God, the blessings of God, the goodness of God. The fruit of the Spirit is singular compared to the deeds of the flesh, which are plural. It suggests oneness and unity. It's one cluster, one stem of one vine. The fruit is the result of the life of Christ flowing into us. The more life that flows into you, the more fruit that comes to your life. The more you're connected to the vine, the more fruitful you are in your life. Everything that we need is in the vine. The vine and the branch and the stem must be healthy to be able to grow. We need to be connected to Him. We need to be in a place where we're in constant relationship. You know, it's not just about having a specific prayer time. One of the things that happened for me years ago in traveling as a preacher and preaching meetings is I remember one pastor met me as I came in to preach in the old days. Now, some of y'all will remember this. We used to do revival meetings. And actually, when I came the first time, I preached for 4 or 5 days. And we used to do that all the time. And I remember going to this one church, and the pastor said to me, he said, Ron, he said, the last guy that was here said he prayed 8 hours a day. I said, bless his heart. I said, if you're expecting that from me, that ain't going to happen. I said, I just don't have that in me. I said, I can't kneel that long. I can't, I got some OCD in me. I can't concentrate for that length of time. But I tell you what I've learned. I've learned that being connected to the Lord is a constant thing. It's part of my life. It's part of everything that I do. It's part of my family. It's part of my church. It's part of every part of my life is just being connected to the vine. And I believe that when we are connected to the vine, there is something that is life-giving that flows into us. I believe that fruit grows and matures. You just can't obtain fruit by going to a conference or seminars. Nothing can instantly make you joyful, gentle, or long-suffering. How many of you know that if you could go to a conference and get the fruit of the Spirit, everybody knows somebody that you would send? You would put them on the next plane and say, go to that meeting, because you need it. But the reality is we get it only by one way, by our connectedness to the Lord. By our relationship, allowing ourselves to be conduits of the flow of the Spirit of God. Now, fruit trees sometimes need something cut off to be fruit-bearing. It's the dry season that causes roots to go deep. Having the fruit of the Spirit doesn't mean that we don't go through times in our life that people that we love die or situations occur. But I believe in those moments that it causes the fruit of the Spirit to even grow stronger, because there's something deep happening within us. I believe it causes us to have greater stability in our life. Fruit trees sometimes require pruning. God wants us to be fruitful, but He knows that there's some areas of our life that take but do not produce. And you need to be careful of those areas in your life that becomes takers and not givers to you. Situations that suck the life out of you, that suck the joy out of you, that suck the benefits and blessings of God out of you. The Lord cuts away those things if we desire to abide in Him. Abiding again means communion with God. If fruit is lacking, then abiding is lacking. Only weeds really grow without cultivation. You've actually got to work something. My dad, that passed away several years ago, he had a green thumb. He could plant something and it would grow, and I thought that maybe that had been passed down to me. And when I was living here in Griffin, I tried to plant a garden. And man, it looked good to start with, but I went out of town for a week or two, and because I didn't hoe the weeds out, I came back and I could not find the good things that I had planted. Weeds had grown up and killed everything else off. And so I did the only logical thing that I knew to do. I took the lawnmower and cut the whole thing down because I figured this was not going to work. Well, I think that for us, I think that somehow or another that we get into a place where we lose sight of the fact that the fruit of the Spirit requires cultivation in our life. It's important what you read. It's important the people that you hang around with. It's important the things that you partake of. It's important what you listen to. It's important about all of those things because those things become communion to you and bring fruitfulness in your life. You must cultivate it. It's not just going to happen automatically. It's something that you have to work at in the area of your life. The fruit of the Spirit is a representation of the maturity of believers and the development of character in them. You know, the expression of gifts does not necessarily mean the approval of God. And we'll say that again. The representation of gifts does not mean the approval of God. We think sometimes if somebody operates in a gift that means that God thinks that they're very special. It's not. They're just used of God in that moment of time. And the Bible talks about gifts without character. It talks about having some ability but not having love. There's something wrong with that picture. And so God wants there to be not just gifts but fruit. The Corinthian church exercised gifts without love. Where fruit is absent, gifts become practically worthless. It's abnormal for the believer to manifest the works of the flesh. I'm going to say that again. It's abnormal for the believer to manifest the works of the flesh. A peach tree or an apple tree does not produce poisonous fruit. It produces good fruit. And because you are a child of the Most High God, you produce good fruit. The seed that is within us is Christ. He's the seed that has been planted in us. And because of His seed in us, there's fruit and life that comes forth. I believe that the fruit coming from our lives should be the fruit of the life and the likeness of Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, it says that we are Christ in this world, that we are the representations of Him. And I'm trying to tell you today, it's not how many sermons you hear. It's about the life that we live. And listen, that's not just for the preachers. That's for every one of us. We're to live a life that people see the fruit of God in us. And they see something in us that says, I want that. I need that. I don't want to live the rest of my life the way that I've been living, but I want to live because I see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Some believers say that they can't live a successful Christian life because of their surroundings. But I want to tell you, your situations, your family, your church, or your surroundings are no excuse for a fruitless life. It's not about what's out there. It's what's in here that matters. It's what's in you that makes a difference. I get so weary of people telling me, well, you know, I'm this way because my third grade teacher. Give me a break. It is not your third grade teacher. It's not the person that lived next door. We make excuses and we blame everybody for the situation that we're in. What you need is a connectedness to the vine. And let the fruit of the Spirit flow out of you. And I'm going to tell you, it'll change your situation. It'll change your circumstance. It'll change the behavior of all those around you when they see the blessing of God in you. Because they're going to say, I want what you got. I believe that we walk in the favor of God. I believe that we walk in the blessings of God. And I believe that regardless again of our situation, our circumstance, I believe that the Holy Spirit will make a way for us. I believe that people will do for us. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I've been in situations and I've seen what a little goodness will do. I'll never forget, y'all know I fly a lot, and I was flying back, and I was in Atlanta. I was flying through Atlanta because I go through Atlanta a lot. And I was going through Atlanta, and the plane was late, and I had to talk to somebody on the phone as I was getting off to try to make preparations. I knew we were going to have to spend the night. There was one guy in front of me, and I'm telling you, he chewed the agent out. Chewed her out. He was mad because he was going to have to spend the night in Atlanta. And I walked up to her and I said, I'm so sorry that you are having to stay here so late at night and deal with idiots like him. And I said, I want to just tell you how much I appreciate you being here. And I said, thank you for your kindness and your grace and your mercy. She looked at me and she looked down and saw my name. She said, Mr. Gray, she said, I just sent him to the Days Inn 40 miles from here. She said, I'm going to put you in the Sheraton Suites right across the street. Sweetness is always better. It's always more of a blessing. People say, well, Ron, how do you get so many benefits and blessings? Why do you get bumped up to first class? Well, part of it's because I fly a lot, but part of it's just because I'm sweet. You may not know that yet, but trust me. I'm telling you, I believe that goodness and kindness and mercy and the love of God, when it flows out of our life, people want what we have. And people want to do good for us. And sometimes they don't even know why. They don't know why they want to do it. They just know that they do want to do it. You know? I've had all kind of experiences where people want to just come up and they want to help me, or they want to bless me, or they want to carry something, or they want to do something. And I'm like, why is that? Because I believe that it's the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And it causes people to want to have what I have. I believe the fruit of the Spirit is love, and I believe all the other things flow to that love. I believe that the fruit of the Spirit brings love for us, for those who do not love in return. It doesn't matter how much you try to love, everybody's not going to love you. Just like I was talking about, I mean, I don't understand this. I'm a lovable guy, but everybody doesn't love me. But you know what I found out? I don't spend a lot of time in those areas. I stay with the people that I love and that loves me. I find that place, but I love those people who will not or cannot love me in return. Some people are incapable of those things, but I love them anyway. I love a little thing that I read years ago that was talking about the love commitment. The truth is sometimes you have to look at some people and say, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Joy that comes in the midst of painful circumstances. How can you have the joy of the Lord? How can you have the joy of the Lord in the midst of difficult situations? Many, many years ago now, I've told little pieces of story, but right before Christmas, my oldest daughter ran away from home, and she was 16 years old. She kidnapped our 12-year-old daughter, was gone for 3 days. It was one of the most painful experiences of my life. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to go. We got them back right before Christmas, and the beginning of the year, I was scheduled to speak at a church. And some people said, Ron, you ought not to go, but I went anyway. And I was talking to the pastor, telling him what was taking place, and he looked at me and he said, Ron, how in the world are you here, having just dealt with all of that stuff? He says, I don't know how you do it. I said, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because I know that God's going to make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And I know that He's going to redeem the situation. And by the way, He has. Hallelujah. And through that process now, we're raising our little grandson, Braxton, who just a few months ago in school, he's in sixth grade, he was asked to write a little paper and say, who's your hero? Now, I want you to know that Braxton's like a lot of sixth graders. He is a Lego meister. He loves Legos. He memorized the Lego movie. He knows Batman backwards and forwards. He knows all of that stuff. But when he wrote and was asked to write about his hero, he says, My hero is my papa, because he goes all over the world and builds houses and touches children and helps people all over the world. What a meaningful thing it was for me to realize what that, all of those things that happened years ago, the redemption of God has taken place. And now, a man who had two daughters now has a son whom I'm touching and blessing and helping him to grow into a mighty man of God. You see, I believe that the joy helps us in the midst of painful circumstances. The peace of God, when something you were counting on doesn't come through. How many of you have ever found out that life doesn't always revolve around you? That sometimes other things are happening, but you can have the peace of God when things don't happen the way you expected them to. You still got peace. You can't take my peace. I have to use the traveling because I do so much of it, but so many people get so ticked off if the plane is late. And I'm like, listen, that plane might crash. If God wants me here, I'm quite content to be right here. The peace that passes understanding, patience. Well, let's skip over that. When things aren't going fast enough for you. We got a lot of type A people who want everything yesterday. But the truth is, everything doesn't happen again in our time frame. How many of you are glad that God didn't answer some of your prayers? The reality is that sometimes you just have to have patience. My trust is in the Lord. Lean not to my understanding. Not the way I see it, not the way I have perspective, but trusting in the Lord with all of my heart and finding my delight in Him. It's where I believe that God helps us. We have patience. We have kindness towards those who treat you unkindly. People who yell at you, who scream at you, get out of the way, you're driving too slow. Well, that's not very mean of you. But the truth is sometimes we have to have kindness, goodness towards those who have been intentionally insensitive to you. People say dumb things. They say things that they don't think about. It always bothers me when people say, well, I just got to say what I think. Please don't. Please. Stop. Put your mind in gear before your mouth goes in motion. Slow down. People say things. They say stupid things at funerals. They say stupid things at celebrations. And you're like, what? But you just be kind to them anyway. You have faithfulness. When friends have proven unfaithful, you're faithful regardless of their unfaithfulness. You're faithful to do what God has called you to do. Let everybody else worry about themselves. You are not the hall monitor for God. You don't have to deal with that. All you got to do is be faithful to do what God's called you to do. Be faithful to serve. Be faithful to love. Be faithful to share. Even if people are unfaithful to you, we all have stories of betrayal. We all have stories where people told us one thing and they did another and they were unfaithful. But I am not going to allow what they did cause me to be the same way. I am going to be faithful. Gentleness towards those who have handled you roughly. You're still gentle to them. Self-control in the midst of intense temptation. You have self-control. You know in whom you believe in. You're persuaded that God will help you to keep those things which He's committed unto you against that day. You're trusting in the Lord and you're able to fulfill the plan and purpose of your life. How many people's life are messed up because of one bad decision? One moment of stupidity And all of a sudden, the rest of their life is messed up. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. To not allow those things around you to move you, to cause you to fall in despair, or to cause you to fall in temptation. Love is the essence of all the fruit. We know the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. And by the way, that's not just a chapter to be read at weddings. It is a life-giving word that says to us that above all, when all else has failed, love will conquer every situation. To love unconditionally, to love with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. To love out of your being. That's what makes a difference. All the other fruit is produced out of our love. Joy is love's strength. Peace is love's security. Patience is love's endurance. Kindness is love's conduct. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's confidence. Gentleness is love's humility. Self-control is love's victory. That's what God gives us, is the love of God. Are you willing to be a conduit and a tree that produces the fruit of the Spirit of God? Are you willing to allow the Lord to work in and through you and make you a wonderful part of His orchard, and allow you to be used in ways that you can't even dream or comprehend? The scripture says in Romans 12, and we know this, it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What the Lord wants you to do today is change your mind. He wants to change your thought processes. He wants you to understand that, first of all, you are useful to the hand of God. God will use even you. See, the enemy tries to make us feel as though that we don't measure up. I don't have all that it takes. But I'm going to tell you something. God made you, and He loves you, and you're useful to the service of the King. You're able to do what God has called you to do. You can fulfill the desires of God in your life. So you're not to do the way the world does. We're not to react. You know, one of the things that we struggle with, and I've said this for years, is God looks us for people of action, not reaction. He wants us to not react to the circumstance, but act in the fruit of the Spirit and do what God wants us to do, and you'll change your circumstances. That's what God is looking for. I believe that we have to lay our life on the altar of God. We have to lay ourselves before the Lord and say, God, here am I. Lord, I'm a tree. Make me fruitful. Let your fruit of the Spirit, let your Holy Spirit work in and through me. I'm a vessel to be used. I'm willing and ready, God, to partake of all that you have for me. I believe that we have the mind of Christ. The Lord, I want to say this, and I'm going to be closing. We all know the scripture in Jeremiah. We all have quoted the scripture in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. And most of the time when I hear it quoted, and I guess out of some translations it says that I know the plans for you, says the Lord. But in the New King James Version and in other versions, here's what it says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And one of the things the Lord has been speaking to me is you cannot access the thoughts of God without having the mind of Christ. And so the reason that a lot of us quote that scripture, but we're waiting for God to deliver it to us, and what the Lord wants us to do is have the mind of Christ so that we can access the thoughts of God and have the future and the hope that He's given to us. And the way that we get the future and the hope is through doing the will of God that comes through His thought processes. And once you get the thought processes, you don't have to make yourself have fruit. Sometimes I feel like, you know, when I'm standing in front of people, I always feel like, well, people are like, well, I need fruit. And they're kind of like people like, you know, maybe I'll just push the fruit out. It doesn't work that way. You just can't press it. It's abiding in the vine. It's accessing the thoughts of God. It's laying your life down and not being conformed to what everybody else is doing. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be who God made me to be. I want to fulfill the purpose and the destiny of God in my life. And I can do that as the fruit of the Spirit flows through me and out of me into all those that are around me. And people will say, I want what you've got because you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I need some love. I need joy. I need peace. I need long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I need those things in my life. And they get it through us. We're the conduits that Christ uses to touch the world with His love. Amen? Let's stand together, would you? Here's what I want to do today. I believe, as Bjorn had talked to me about, that the flow was the Spirit of God. To me, there's no worse picture than a fruit tree that is desolate. There's no worse picture than a tree that's supposed to have a bountiful harvest that produces one little fig or one shriveled up peach. Because if it was truly what it was supposed to be, it would be laden with fruit. One of the things that I personally asked the Lord for, the little video about being everywhere and celebrating 40 years, is I've asked the Lord, God, when it all comes down, I want there to be fruit. I want there to be fruit out of my life. I want there to be benefits. I want there to be blessings. I'm so tired. I don't want to just preach another message. I've done that. I know how to speak the word, but what I want is the fruitfulness of God. I want the benefits and the blessings in other people. I want people to see that I'm real. I want people to know that the Lord has made me to be fruitful so that they can partake of it and they can draw from what God has done in me and through me in my life. I don't want to come to the end and just been a lot of places and no fruit. I want there to be fruit out of my life. And here's what I felt like the Lord was saying today. I felt like the Lord was telling me there's some of you today who have touched a little bit of the benefits and blessings of God, but you're not really connected. You're not really abiding in the vine. You're touching, but you're not abiding. You're not ingrained into the flow of the Spirit of God. It may be because of your own thoughts. It may be because of your own struggles. It may be because you feel unworthy. But I believe that today the Lord wants to remove all of the area that's hindering the flow of God into your life and help you to receive all the abundance that God has for you so that you can truly have His fruit. That everywhere that you know, the great thing about fruit trees too is it continually reproduces. When somebody picks fruit, some more fruit comes. When somebody takes what they need, more fruit comes. If you're doing what you want to do, it's a never-ending cycle of your life. That the fruit is always being produced. But as I've spoken today, some of you here feel like that you are an unfruitful person. And you need to tap into the vine and move into that place where the Holy Spirit can, especially during this season. I'm telling you, we get so much chaos and we get so much stress and there's so many things that are pulling and pressing on us. But what a joy it would be to go through this season with just the fruit of God flowing in you and through you and around you. And people would say, I want what you have. I need that in my life. So today, if you are here and you are not as fruitful as you desire to be, if something's hindering that, it may be, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. Some people just have bad attitudes at times. Not you, but for those listening. But bad attitudes will shut down the flow of the Spirit of God. And so sometimes you just bought into a negative attitude, or you bought into your situation or your circumstance. But I'm telling you today, God wants this to be the most fruitful season of your life. And if you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today and you desire greater fruitfulness in your life, I want you to come and just stand right here at the front for just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you for God to make you fruitful. Would you come? Hallelujah. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord, and I believe this is for maybe several of you that are here, but I believe the Lord wants to say to you, He's going to connect the dots in your life. He's going to, it's like that there's just things that are just kind of all over the page in your life, and you haven't been able to get reconciled in the situation and circumstance, but the Lord said He's going to connect all the dots, and He's going to show you the picture of your life, and He's going to show you where He wants you to be and what He wants you to do and how He wants you to do it. And so you need to trust the Lord through that to help you to become all that He wants you to be. He's the one that's painting the picture. He's the one that's producing what needs to be done in your life. And so, Father, right now, I pray for these that are here. I pray, God, right now, that, Lord, that You would allow Your Spirit, Lord, to flow like a river of living water, God. And, Lord, this living water would flow through these. And that they would recognize, God, that in that river is life. In that river is goodness. In that river is strength. In that river is joy. In that river is peace. In that river is every good thing. And Lord, I pray to make them fruitful. I pray, God, Lord, to bring about, Lord, what they need in them and through them. Sister, if I could just say to you, I feel like the Lord says that you've been lied to and you've struggled with some situations and circumstances. And it's caused you to have sometimes a lack of trust, but the Lord says you can trust Him. You can trust the Lord because He will do what He said He would do. And He's going to bring about the purposes and plans that He had for you in your life. And the Scripture says that He that began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. And so I pray right now that the completion of the Lord is taking place in your life, and that you will not anymore be struggling with putting on God what people have failed at, what situations and circumstances failed at. The Lord is going to accomplish His purpose in your life. Lord, bring about the joy of the Lord. Bring about the blessings of God. Lord, we thank You for it. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You today that, God, that, Lord, You're giving direction and straightening up the road of life. The Lord says, y'all been down a lot of roads, a lot of paths, a lot of curves. There's been a few signs that came up that said detour. And it's caused you to get off of the place where you needed to be. But I believe the Lord, the Scripture says that He makes our ways straight. And I believe that the Lord today is making the way straight for you. And He's going to take you out of where you've been and take you off of the perils of a curvy road, and he's going to put you on a path where you could do and be everything that God has called you to be. So, Lord, I thank you for straightening out, giving them direction. Lord, I just see, instead of a detour sign, I see a big sign that says, come this way. Follow me. Serve me. Live for me. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, God, for doing what you said you would do. Thank you, Lord, that our trust and our confidence is in you. Thank you, God. Lord, that there's nothing too hard for you. And the Lord says to you that you've just been going in circles and just keep coming back to the same thing over and over. But today the Lord is breaking the cycle, and he's changing the circumstances and going to help you to get free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, I pray for freedom. Freedom, Lord, to flow, Lord, in and through her, God. Lord, I thank you today that no more cycle, no more going through the same thing over and over. But thank you, God, that you're changing her and her circumstances. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for every good thing that comes from your hand. Lord, we believe in you. We trust in you. We put all our life in your hands. Because, God, we know that everywhere else, Lord, is just fake. It's not real. The reality is in you. The reality is in serving you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we honor you and we just give you glory today because of every good thing that comes from your hand. Lord, I pray to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings, God, in these lives. Lord, show them, Lord, so many things that have been held in store for their life, and that, God, now the door is opening to be able to access every benefit and blessing that comes from you. We thank you for it, and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah.
As Kitty's playing the song, that verse just kept coming back to me over and over again. My one request, my one desire. And see, that's where it's got to come down to. It's not my secondary request. It's not my secondary desire. My one request, my one desire. One thing, the psalmist says, have I, one thing that I desire. I may seek you and find you. That's got to be the one thing. It's got to be beyond everything else. It's got to be beyond your life, your job, everything. Every single day you got to rise and say, my one request, my one desire, Lord, above everything else is you. And that's when the fruit of the Spirit flows. That's when the connectedness happens and all begins to work for the good, for those who love God and call according to his purpose. Amen. Amen. Maybe seated for a moment. Gonna ask our ushers if they'll be coming. We're gonna receive a special offering for Ron. Let me help you out with this offering. I'm going to tell you how sweet Ron is. You know, Ron gets up and tells you how sweet it is. I'm going to tell you how sweet he really is. One day we was at the airport several years ago in Atlanta, was flying to Dominican Republic. And we got up to the ticket place, and Ron looks at me and says, Buren, I got some good news and some bad news for you. He says, the good news is I got bumped up to first class. He said, the bad news, I couldn't get you up there. And I said, well, to me that was bad news. But I said, you are going to stay in the back of the plane with me, aren't you? He said, no, I'm not. I'm going up. I said, okay then. So I'm sitting in the back of the plane with people I don't know and don't have a friend next to me. He's in first class. So about halfway over the Caribbean to our destination, a flight attendant comes walking back, and she brings me a gift and says, the man up in first class, your friend, wanted me to bring you this beverage back here to you. And I looked at her and I said, just take that beverage back up to first class and tell him that I'm fine and I don't want it. So she went back to first class and said to Ron, said, your friend said that he is fine and he doesn't want your gift. He said, he's mad. So we got to the plane landed, and Ron, he's first class, they get off first. So he's standing down waiting on me, you know. And I just walked past him, didn't say a single word. And he said, hey, you upset? And I turned around and said, sure am. He said, we're going to be okay. I said, well, soon, but right now, let's just go get our luggage. So none of us are perfect. So, sweetie pie, next time. Yeah. You get the message? All right, you hadn't gotten it yet, so next time. I just want you to know, it takes a lot to get me upset, but don't leave me in the back of the plane alone. Let's stand. Go out worship.
Need to get connected to that vine, preacher.
Thank you for that.